So for this installment in our series on Tefillah, I want to look at Shoshanas Yaakov. Shoshanas Yaakov, which we say after the Megillah, has two parts. The first part describes the redemption that occurred on Purim and our joy and our gratitude to Hashem. And then the second part curses the villains, Haman and Zeresh, blesses Mordechai and Esther, and remembers Charvonah for the good. If you were to look in Machzor Vitri from the students of Rashi, Resh Mem Ches, it only has the opening part. It doesn't have that whole cursed is Haman, blessed is Mordechai. But Maseches Sofrim, Perek Yedaled, says that we are supposed to praise the tzaddikim, Mordechai, Esther, and Kol Yisrael, Mordechai, Esther, and all the Jews. The Rishalmi in Megillah, Gimel Zion, says that we're also supposed to curse Haman and his sons, and it also adds, you have to say, Charvona Zachor Latov, that Charvona is remembered for the good. Ditto Esther Rabba, Perek Yud. So I want to focus on that Charvona line, because there is a Charvona controversy. Who is Charvona? From the text itself, here's what we know. He only shows up twice. In Esther chapter 1, sentence 10, he's one of the officers charged with bringing Vashti to Ahasuerus. And then in chapter 7, sentence 9, he informs Ahasuerus of Haman's gallows for Mordechai. So there are two schools of thought as to how to read Charvona. School of thought number one is that Charvona is an actual officer in the royal court, and he was not originally a friend of ours. That's first approach. Consider this. How does Charvona know about Haman's gallows and the fact that it's 50 amos tall? The Vilna Gaon and then the Malbim say that Charvona was among the Sirisei HaMelech, among those agents of the king who came to get Haman while Haman was debating with Zeresh. So that fits his role in chapter 1 as a royal emissary. He was sent to retrieve Vashti for a royal party. Now he was sent to retrieve Haman for a royal party. But the Gemara in Megillah, Tezayin Amud Aleph, is stronger. It says that he was actually part of Haman's plot against Mordechai. And when the plot fell apart, he changed sides. And the Maharsha on that Gemara in Megillah says that's how Charvona knows it's a 50 amah gallows. You don't know that just by looking at it. He knows because he was actually part of the plot. So Charvona starts out as a bad guy, and then he switches sides. Why did Charvona intervene now and not before? Why wasn't he afraid to intervene at what seems to be a private party between Ahasuerus, Esther, and Haman? He can see which way the wind is blowing. Right, which is supported by him opening up with Gam Hine Ha'etz. Also, there's this tree. Right, he's now adding on to what Esther is saying, in addition to what Esther just said. Also, there's also this this gallows for Mordechai. So that's school number one. Charvona was not a good guy, and then he became a good guy. School number two is that Charvona is not one of us, so to speak. He's not a human being. Charvona is Eliyahu, or he is a malach, some kind of angelic being. He knew about Haman's gallows because he has supernatural knowledge. Why did he intervene now and not before? So now is the opportune moment. Now is the chance for him to turn the tide and support what Esther is saying. Interestingly, the Medrash that I mentioned before in Esther Rabbah Perek Yud actually suggests that this was a switch. There was a real Charvona, meaning a human Charvona, in chapter 1, and then Eliyahu came along, tied him up, locked him in a closet, and replaced Charvona in order to do this. I wonder if that Medrash is picking up on a change in spelling. In chapter 1, Charvona's name is spelled with an aleph at the end. In chapter 7, it's spelled with a hey at the end. So maybe that's part of what the Medrash is picking up on. So that's background on who Charvona is. Let's go back to Shoshanas Yaakov now. What does Shoshanas Yaakov believe about Charvona? So just the fact that we honor Charvona at all makes him sound like a good human being, right? He's somebody who helped us out. The rest of the people on the list, Mordechai, Esther, Haman, Zeresh, are all human beings, so he's a human being also. But two pieces of evidence suggest that Shoshanas Yaakov views Charvona as a malach. First of all, Professor Yonatan Grossman notes that the structure of Shoshanas Yaakov sets Charvona apart from the rest of the heroes and villains, right? It's, and also Charvona. You could suggest that's because he's not one of us, he's Persian, or it reflects this greater degree of ambivalence because he was part of the plot against us at first. So he's not really on the Baruch side or the Arur, the cursed side. So it could be that this supports the idea that he's a malach, or it could be that it supports the idea that he was a human who was kind of both. That he was a human being who was bad for us and then good for us. But you could read it as support for the idea that he was a malach. That's piece of evidence number one, the way he is set apart. The other is the fact that we don't say of him Baruch, we say Zachur Latov, remembered for the good. So that phrase, Zachur Latov, is used in the Gemara in various places to refer to human beings who do good things. There's a Mishnah in the fourth parak in Bava Metzia, there's a Mishnah in the eighth parak in Bava Basra. On the other hand, we also use the phrase Zachur Latov when we mention Eliyahu Hanavi in Bavli and in Yerushalmi. We talk about Eliyahu Hanavi, Zachur Latov. So it could be that this supports the idea that Charvona is a malach. The fact that we call him Zachur Latov like we do with Eliyahu. Either way, when we sing Shoshanas Yaakov, we're honoring those we are meant to honor, we are cursing those we are meant to curse, and we're possibly declaring that Charvona was in fact a malach sent by Hashem to help us.